Welcome to the History of the Caribbean audiobook. If you haven't already, we invite you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss a story. Today, we're honored to bring you Guarding the Roots, Bunny Wailer versus the Commercial Reggae Machine. Get ready to immerse yourself in a powerful narrative that goes beyond music into legacy, resistance, and roots. Because here, our mission is simple: to keep our culture alive, one story at a time. I never wanted to be famous. I wanted to be free. But when reggae started climbing the charts, when the foreign journalists showed up in their fancy shoes, asking shallow questions with deep microphones, I saw what was coming. They wanted the rhythm, but not the roots. And so, I began to guard them. Not just with words, not just with music, but with silence, with refusal, with fire. When Bob passed, they said the crown had to go somewhere. The industry was hungry. It needed a new Marley, a new face, a new voice it could mold, promote, export, repackage. But I had no interest in filling shoes. I was barefoot, planted, unmovable. I didn't want to replace Bob. I wanted to protect what we had started before Babylon watered it down. Because that's what they do, you see. They take the flame and turn it into stage lights. They take the message and mix it for radio. They take the revolution and fold it into a t-shirt. Labels started calling. We want to rebrand you, Bunny. Can we soften the sound a little? Try a more international look. Can you tour with a pop fusion set? Every time I heard those words, my stomach turned. They didn't want Bunny Wailer. They wanted a reggae mascot. They wanted a Rasta they could control. A dreadlock decoration for a stage that didn't honor Zion. I said no, over and over again, to big money, to glossy contracts, to award shows that didn't understand a thing about Nyabingi. They called me difficult, said I was stuck in the past. But I wasn't clinging to old ways. I was protecting sacred ground. You don't modernize the drum. You honor it. You don't remix the word. You live it. I watched the machine turn roots into rhythms, turn chants into hooks, turn Rasta into fashion. And I knew, if I didn't stand guard, we'd lose everything. So I stayed in Jamaica, planted my food, held reasoning sessions in my yard, produced albums on my own label, Solomonic. No compromise, no shortcut, no dilution. Every track I released was weighed in spirit before sound. Every lyric was carved like scripture. Every beat was a heartbeat from the hills. They asked me once why I never went full commercial. I said, because I'm not selling a product. I'm channeling a prophecy. And prophecies don't chart. They change people. Young artists started coming to me. Not for clout, for clarity. They'd say, Bunny, how do I make it? And I'd say, stay clean. Stay rooted. Stay unbought. I'd tell them the machine will flatter you, invite you in, offer you stage time, press, and praise. But the minute you forget your roots, you're not making music anymore. You're making merchandise. One time, a European promoter flew to Kingston, begged me to headline a festival, said he'd triple the fee, first-class flights, major coverage. I told him I'd consider it, if the opening prayer was a Nyabingi chant, if the food served was Ital, and if the stage backdrop said Jah Lives. He said, that's too much. I said, then you want entertainment, not alignment. He left without a handshake. I slept just fine that night. See, the problem with the commercial machine is that it's not evil. It's empty. It doesn't hate roots. It just doesn't feel them. It doesn't know what it means to beat a drum for your ancestors, to fast before you record, to chant before you write. It only knows how to sell. But I didn't come here to be sold. I came to speak. And speaking doesn't always mean volume. Sometimes it means stillness. That's why I didn't chase spotlights. That's why I didn't tour the world to death. That's why I never took Babylon's bait. Because I had already seen what they did to Bob, to Peter, to the movement. They make the story clean, safe, marketable. But reggae was never supposed to be safe. It was supposed to shake the system. I remember once, walking through Coronation Market. A little girl saw me and shouted, "Black Heart Man." Her mother hushed her, but I smiled, because that name, once used to scare children, was now being spoken with reverence. That's the legacy I wanted. Not awards, not plaques, but memory. Real, rooted memory that lasts longer than streams or sales. When I finally grew old, and the machine had moved on to newer sounds, newer faces, they came knocking again. Said they wanted to do a legacy documentary. They wanted to polish my story, put it in theaters. Add orchestral music. flashy transitions. I asked them who would narrate it. They said some actor from overseas. I said, "Then you don't want my story. You want something shiny." They never called back. And again, I slept just fine. You see, in the end, guarding the roots wasn't a choice. It was a vow. A vow I made in the drum circle as a youth. A vow I made when we formed the Wailers. A vow I kept through silence, refusal, and discipline. Because someone had to keep the rhythm pure. Someone had to stay behind the lights. Someone had to carry the message when the crowd was gone. So yes, I was the quiet one. But I was the guardian. And now that I've returned to the soil, if you listen closely, beneath the noise, beneath the beats, they're still there. The roots. Unbroken. Because I never let go.